The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Fish Cakes, EB, and JP. We're going to check in with Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, on the Team 980 coming up at 8:20. But right now, time for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of outdoor furniture, hot tubs, swim spas, pool tables, fire pits, whatever you want. Head on over to Offenbachers. So I think we should start with Thanksgiving and
yes,
the game which resulted in a firing, the Lions-Bears game, which first half looked like varsity versus JV. Yeah. The Lions were doing whatever they wanted offensively.
Yep, running all
and
over.
And the Bears couldn't do anything. And then the second half, Caleb got hot.
Well, the huge turning point in the first half was Gibbs catches a pass, and he's streaking to the end zone. He's like at the four-yard line. And a Bears defender jars the ball loose. They're about to go up 23-0 and effectively just end the Bears right there.
Yeah.
Force the turnover, get the ball back, and that gave the Bears life.
That was a huge turnover.
And they were a totally different team in the second half.
Right. Second half, Caleb gets hot, has three touchdown passes, but everybody's talking about the way the game ended, where they have a chance to at least get a field goal to push the game into overtime, potentially a touchdown to win the game. He gets sacked with 30-plus seconds left.
33.
Eberflus doesn't call a timeout.
Yeah.
Caleb gets him to the line, then changes the play, tries to throw it to Odunze for the win.
Because at that point, there were like 5 seconds left, and this is clearly the last play of the game.
All they needed was maybe 5 to 7 yards.
Right.
Okay.
And they had a timeout left.
You could easily call timeout and have 30 seconds left. Run a play. Even if he gets tackled in bounds, you can spike it. If you get the first down, and then you can kick a field goal, it would probably have been a 40-yarder.
I think Caleb has to be aware.
Yes.
But I'm with Rex Ryan. I saw Rex Ryan after the game. He says, 100% of the time, if your quarterback gets sacked in that situation, you call a timeout.
Yes.
Because too much time passes. Like, you just immediately, he sacked, timeout.
I've said this for a decade. You need a timeout clock management specialist that's right next to the coach. And if the coach isn't calling the timeout, that's where he pulls on the coach's like jacket or whatever and says, "You're calling a timeout right now."
I find it hard to believe not a coach on that staff that's telling Eberflus, "Let's call a timeout."
Right. Like, how's that not happening?
And the fact that he defended his decision, or lack thereof, after the game makes it even worse.
He's just entrenched. He had no escape.
He knew he was done.
He's back against the wall.
As he's walking off the field, he probably knew.
Supposedly, there was player revolt.
As there should have been.
There should have been.
But remember in the Hail Mary game, he stubbornly said that the play before the Hail Mary didn't matter.
Right.
Which was stupid. Because Dan Quinn said
he's a clown.
It did matter because it gave him extra yards so they could throw an effective Hail Mary.
Is he a defensive specialist? I don't remember.
Supposedly.
He's a defensive guy. So he'll be a defensive coordinator somewhere. And that's his ceiling. He should have never been elevated to head coach in the first place.
But
we see this every year. We see it all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
guys who aren't fit for their jobs get the jobs.
And I know, but
they flame out spectacularly.
That's NFL 101. When it's 33 seconds left and you're basically at midfield,
sure,
you have to call a timeout.
I actually disagree. I think you could hurry up, run a play, and then call the timeout. So I blame Caleb for that. If you want to make the Eberflus argument, that's fine. I can't argue.
All right, but then Eric, Eberflus sees that Caleb
is
flailing
and doesn't
know what play to call, and then he's changing the play. You can't let that happen.
You know, I agree, but he kind of handcuffed him.
Because he froze in a big moment. He had a big moment.
He froze. He froze.
Why else do you think Caleb froze? I'm not letting Caleb off
Caleb's
the hook.
Caleb's brain may have seized up.
I'm not Caleb.
But while the seconds are ticking away.
And he's doing this. He's doing this.
Yeah.
But when you see
you're right.
When you're Eberflus, you have half a brain cell that's still working. You see what's happening, and that's the time is bleeding away, and you know you have a timeout. You just call a timeout.
Yeah,
it's so
nature. Yes.
But here's the bottom line: they're all dummies because that kind of end of I know it happens even for the hapless Bears. End of game situations, they do it every practice. They rep it out every practice.
But the head coach in that situation, he's
got
to call it on the sack. If you don't call it on the sack, call it when you see that he's flailing.
It's a mind-boggling, boneheaded move by Eberflus not to call a timeout.
He lost the team at the Hail Mary. He did.
Yeah.
They were 4-2 at that point, and they've lost all their games since.
Even if he didn't have that horrible brain fart on national TV, he was a dead man walking anyway. He's getting fired at the end of the year. They brought the axe down early.
You're right. I mean, he probably would have saved his job for the rest of the year anyway if he beats the Lions. But the fact that he didn't, he knew he was gone.
That's a good job. Caleb can play. He's shown that the last few weeks.
Yep.
Caleb can play. He hasn't thrown an interception in, 212 attempts?
He didn't look like he could play in the first half, but he flipped the switch in the second half.
I'd rather have my guy. You can have the highlight reel all you want. My guy does it all.
212 straight passes without an interception. He's got 14 touchdowns now with just 5 on the year. Caleb can play. That's a good job. I'm telling you.
Well, they better do better than Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
Oh, they will.
What about you guys did see, obviously, did you mention it, that they're saying Cliff is like a shoo-in? There was some report.
I don't know if he's a shoo-in. He's a candidate.
He's a candidate, yeah.
He's a candidate. I don't think he's a shoo-in.
I think I read it in one of those cheesy sites.
Now everybody's back to you. You can't lose Cliff.
No, I don't care.
He has one
good
bounce back
game. I'm not saying I don't want that. I'm just saying I saw a site that said he's like a shoo-in.
It's just funny that during the 3-game losing streak, everybody's killing Cliff, and they're like, he's going off the Cliff second half of the season. Cliff, they're doing that bit. And now one good game, one good bounce back game, and he becomes a candidate for the Bears.
It's just that he coached Caleb. That's all. It's the connection. We're going to tackle that at 9 o'clock. Just to give you kind of a recap of the Thanksgiving games, the Cowboys, they got their second straight win. They're now 5-7, so maybe they're fighting to be back in the mix. Micah Parsons, after the game, was like, it's not over. They beat the Giants 27-20.
I defy you to find a worse two-quarterback tandem than Tommy DeVito and Drew Lock. Please, if you can give me two worse quarterbacks that are on the same team currently, I'm all ears.
That was a boring game.
What about Aiden O'Connell and Desmond Ritter?
That's in the running, Gardner Minshew. It's in the running, Jake.
But yes, the bad situation. The Packers beat the Dolphins 30-17, so Dolphins pretty much dead in the AFC. Packers are 9-3.
It's been an incredible year. Defense has been really good, and then Jordan Love, even though there sometimes he just likes to give the ball away, but man, they've got three pretty good receivers, and they've got a legit running back. So they've been very impressive.
Good Thursday night game, Lions-Packers this week.
It's crazy. In the NFC, we put the Lions number one and Eagles right on their tails, having won 8 in a row. But the Packers and Vikings, who also won yesterday, they're right there. I mean, having incredible years.
That's why that Packers-Lions game is huge on Thursday.
Massive one.
Vikings came back. I think it was the first time Sam Darnold has had a comeback win in the final 2 minutes of the game. Heard some stat, something like that.
That's another guy who's begging to throw you a pick. He's very well less
Darnold.
Like, and he just wants to gift you the ball.
But credit the Vikings. They are now 10-2 on the year as they beat the Cardinals, who dropped to 6-6. Justin Jefferson ends up with 7 catches for 99 yards. Nice win for the Vikings. I should mention that on Friday we had the game. I barely watched any of this game on Friday. And it was another game where the Chiefs pull it out.
Yep.
A weird circumstance at the end where there's a fumble at the end of the game.
Correct.
When the Raiders can be in position to kick a game-winning field goal. Mm-hmm. They don't do it. Chiefs get another win. They're 11-1.
Hey, guys, I think Antonio Pierce might not be a good head coach. Might not be very good.
Brock Bowers, by the way.
Oh, he's a superstar.
He's the best tight end in football.
Yeah. He's what I thought the Atlanta guy was going to be.
And when I saw the picture of him in like before the combine in the ill-fitting shorts and t-shirt.
He looked so terrible.
He looked like the biggest dorkopotamus on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently he's the best tight end on the planet.
He's legit. Yeah.
So AFC picture right now, the Chiefs are the one seed at 11-1. They've won all these close games. Their point differential isn't that great. You wouldn't expect them to be 11-1, but they are. Bills beat up on the 49ers in the snow last night. They're 10-2.
And it looks like McCaffrey is done for the season, according to Adam Schefter, who tweeted that earlier today.
Nobody on the 49er roster, including the coaching staff, wanted to be in that stadium. It looked miserable.
Yep.
I couldn't even believe they got fans in the stadium because they were shoveling
It was packed.
I know. They were shoveling.
Freaking packed.
They walked in. They started shoveling out their seats.
Yeah.
The Steelers are 9-3.
How did they get the stadium workers there?
So the Steelers bounce back from that loss to the Cleveland Browns as they explode offensively against the Bengals. Bengals are 5th in points in the league, 31st in points against. They're having a dreadful year. If that job opens up, that's going to be a great job because Joe Burrow.
You get Joe Burrow, it'd be fantastic.
Joe Burrow on pace right now for 43 touchdowns with just 7 interceptions and 4,700 yards passing. Texans get a win, ugly win. They're 8-5 if you want to look at the AFC picture. Chargers at 8-4, they get back on the right track.
You got to stop. The Texans-Jags game was a terrible game, but the huge play was Trevor Lawrence getting almost decapitated.
Yep.
All right. And then there was a brawl on the sideline.
As there should have been.
Actually, there was two.
Right.
There was one on the sideline that got broken up, and then again later in the game there was another one.
Well, when somebody tries to kill your quarterback on the field,
the
fists are going to be flying.
There was even a teammate, if you watch the replay, I can't remember, I think it was the safety, when that hit happens as Trevor Lawrence is sliding.
Yes.
So Trevor Lawrence is going down. I'm sure most people have seen the play. He's sliding, and then he gets almost decapitated, as Jason says. There's a player, teammate of his, that raised his hand and was like, what the F are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Texans are winning that division at 8-5. Chargers are 8-4 right now. They get the win because Kirky threw four interceptions.
Picks.
Man, he looked especially dreadful yesterday.
What was he thinking?
I mean,
some of those interceptions were
side, I think all four of them, he was targeting the slot receiver. So maybe the Chargers are like, hey, this is a tell when he's throwing into the slot, like we're going to go after him. And that one he hung out to the sideline was especially
terrible.
Egregious.
I thought the worst one was the one in the end zone.
That was pretty bad too.
Taking points off the board.
To pick from.
In a close game, taking points off the board.
Yep.
Ravens fall to the Eagles, so they're 8-5. They've slipped to the 6th seed in the AFC.
Mm.
I felt like they didn't commit to Derrick Henry enough. I don't know what the total.
I mean, he had 19 carries.
19?
I mean, 19's a lot of carries. Yeah. Now, it's not a lot of carries for him, but 19 carries in a game is a good number for a running back.
I think 25 total touches, if you count passes.
Okay.
Screens.
Not bad.
No, yeah, it's whenever they lose, they just blame not giving it to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That's usually them.
I guess that's my fantasy bias because I have him on my fantasy team.
Well, now you're getting greedy because the guy scored like in every game, I think, except for this game.
Yeah.
Right? Hasn't he scored a touchdown in every game up until this game?
Sounds right, yeah. Just the Eagles just were getting after Lamar. I mean, Lamar had some spots where he could get outside the tackles and get some yards, but It just seemed like that he was just getting pressure on everything, every drop back.
And real quick, just to give you your NFC playoff picture right now, one seed Lions 11-1, Eagles are the two seed at 10-2. Seahawks right now are atop the NFC West at 7-5. They got a nice win yesterday against the Jets.
So they'd be the three seed.
And there was, you talk about turning points. Aaron Rodgers talked about this after the game. So they have a lead in the game. And the turning point is Aaron Rodgers has an open Garrett Wilson for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Misses him. Garrett Wilson dives. Next play. I think it was the very next play, is the pick six by Leonard Williams. Yeah. He takes it 91 yards.
Yep.
But anyway, your top four seeds would be Lions, Eagles, Seahawks, and then the Falcons right now with the tiebreaker atop that division with the Vikings 10-2, Packers at 9-3, and then the Commanders, the last wild card team in, at 8-5.
So you got to feel pretty good about where they are slotted in the wild card because – like we said before, Atlanta's got 6 wins. Tampa has 6. Arizona has 6. You have the head-to-head with Arizona. Rams have 6. So there's still 2 wins behind Washington. And Tampa does have the head-to-head with Washington. But if Tampa gets to 10 wins, which I think Washington will get to at least, I think Tampa wins the division there. So it would bounce all those other teams to the wild card. So I think they've got a really good shot at that 7th wild card.
This this is going to sound stupid to you guys, but this is how my brain works. I just want to keep playing. I just want to play like we did yesterday. If we make the playoffs, great. That should. And by the way, part of that is if you play like that, you probably get to the playoffs. I just want to play great and score a lot of points and the future look bright. I'm not hinging my hopes on whether or not we go to the playoffs this year, if that makes any sense. It's kind of, maybe it sounds dumb.
But you could have both.
I just want to play
the
great.
The future is obviously bright.
Yeah.
So you already know that.
Well, people are starting to question a little
bit. But based on how, you know, where they're sitting right now, record-wise, got a great shot at making the
playoffs. I think we do. But I don't expect to really do much unless we get on a real heater.
That's fine.
You know,
just to get there in the first year.
Yeah, it's year one.
That'd be great. But the most important thing to me, and I said it last week, is because I don't think our defense is that great, although they were flying around yesterday.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just get back to that offense that's super productive and scores a ton of points, because that's fun football to watch.
Oh, you're finally coming around to offense, scoring.
Oh, I love
scoring.
I love
fun.
That. I love
Who's
that.
Been chirping about that for
now,
5 years?
No, that's true. Now, you give me Micah Parsons, and I have an incredible MVP-caliber defender, I'm excited, too.
That's
you
great.
Might not be, but I am.
I know what's more important. The guy whose jersey you're wearing is more important than Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, any defender on any team in the league. As long as you got that guy, you got a chance.
You're probably right, but I get excited if I have those guys too. I think you're probably right. I can't argue it, but you can't diminish the greatness of those players.
But you're going to get, if you get
we
a team.
We don't have one of those defensively.
If you get a team that scores a bunch of points in the last 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a team that's going to the playoffs.
If we score like we have for like 10 of the weeks, yeah, we should be good. Yeah.
Coming up next.
Two out of four.
It's our colleague check-in with Kevin Sheehan from the Team 980.